U.S. Senator Katie Britt, referring to the brutal murder of Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley, allegedly by an illegal immigrant from Venezuela. On Wall Street this morning, Dow is up 66 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. This is Brother Davis sitting in for Dr. Youngblood, and certainly I want to give a shout out to him on today, and I realize he needs some rest and relaxation. He's a busy man, but I thank God for him, my friend and mentor, amen, my prayer partner, my everything. I mean, my professor at the school, my advisor, you know, I mean, I hold him in high esteem, and I thank God, and I love you so much, you and your family, and everyone has been such a blessing to me, Dr. Phelps, and everyone at the school, and I just thank God for all of you on today. And my friend, let me recommend to you on today, if you're looking for higher education in the way of theology, Conservative Theological University is certainly the place. And I'm not saying that simply because I'm going there, or I've been there, but as I did my research, I come to find out that that was the best place. It was the best kept secret in the area for me at the time when it came down to a quality education, Conservative Theological University. So certainly give them a call today. You can look them up on the web, conservative.edu, conservative.edu. And once again, I want to say happy anniversary to my wife of 38 years. Amen. We are observing that wonderful anniversary. We are having a little bit of R&R today ourselves, just sitting back and enjoying the sunshine and the great things that God has created. And we're certainly glad, amen, on today. Certainly, amen, thank God for each and every one of you. I believe I got a call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, Brother Jim.
Dr. Davis, how are you today?
I am very blessed, Brother Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Please don't ever be deceived. Jesus, at any point, according to the scriptures, could have taken the cup out of his own hand by opening his mouth, but he chose to do the will of the Father. Pilate's wife came to him and was disturbed in a dream and told him not to have anything to do with this man, that he was righteous. And he tried to exonerate him. Then he was sent to, I think, Herod's son, I can't remember, but and he greatly desired to see him, hoping that he would perform a miracle for him, and Jesus didn't open his mouth. And this is after he had spent all night being beaten and being mocked and struck.
Amen.
In preparation to everything there. Jesus willingly gave up everything for us, and we have no greater priest for as our advocate. He's
Amen.
Truly a priest of the highest order of, I know I'm going to butcher this name, Melchizedek. I could never say that right.
Melchizedek?
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
But I am so thankful he did, and we have nothing to fear because he's the first to be born again, or raised to life. And he has the keys of death and Hades in his hand right now.
Amen.
And he'll be back soon. And there's going to be a voice and a shout. And we'll all be with him. All of us who believe it and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Brother Jim, for your comments. And certainly, you know, I would hope and pray that every Christian on today, every born-again, blood-washed believer is looking forward to that great, great getting up morning. Again, that's another one of those old songs that I come up with, sung in the church, on that great getting up morning. Amen. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. I don't know about you, amen, but I'm looking forward to that. And again, it gives me so much encouragement and enthusiasm to make sure, be sure and very sure, that first, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I heard, amen, a message preached, amen, so many times. My wife has preached a couple of times. There is a need for the Holy Ghost. There's a need. In other words, that's our ticket into the kingdom. If we're not born again, blood washed, filled with God's Spirit, then we have to come to realize that all we're doing is selling ourselves short. I don't need any more trouble. I understand that we're going through a whole lot down here now, and no telling how much more we're going to have to go through, especially with that administration that we are currently experiencing right now in Washington, D.C., and every other place. The twisted, perverted sins, the laws that they are passing, that they are trying to deceive the public with. Well, if we continue on in Jesus Christ, if we hold on to his unchanging hand, if we continue to have faith in the word of God, God is going to lead us in the right way no matter what. So let me encourage you on today. Trust God. Trust in him with all your heart, Proverbs say, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, that's another promise. He said he shall direct your paths. He'll lead you in the right way. So we talked about why the cross. Thank you once again, Brother Jim. We talked about the purpose of the cross. We talked about why the cross. Now we want to talk about the power of the cross. The power of the cross of Jesus Christ. The message of the cross is profound and central to Christianity. It communicates God's incredible love for humanity and his plan for redemption. And its core message, the core message of the cross, is that Jesus Christ, God's own son, willingly suffered and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He reconciled humanity with the Heavenly Father. That's the power. When you look at power, again, we're talking about life-saving power. We're talking about healing power. And when I'm talking about life-saving, I'm talking about literally life in this world right now and life in the world to come. Reason why I say that, if you have not experienced that, and I'm sure some of you have, there have been situations, and I'm just going to use an example. Maybe you might have been driving down the street in your own car going about your own way. Suddenly, a car appears coming out of nowhere, getting ready to run head on into you, and you call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, you're not going to always have time to say, Our Father, a great architect of the universe. God already knows who he is, and he doesn't need us to address him in that way. I mean, he's very, very well, aware of who he is, and he knows he's got all power in his hands. But if we simply have time to say, just like the Apostle Peter said, when Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come, and Jesus said one word. He said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat to come to Christ, but when he saw the wind blowing so boisterous around him, he began to look away. He took his eyes away from the Lord, and he began to sink. And the scripture said he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Christ stretched out his hand at that moment and saved him and pulled him back into the boat. Maybe that could have happened to you somewhere down the road. Maybe you're about to get in a terrible accident, something that you know that you couldn't prevent, and you couldn't see no way out. And you didn't have time to say anything but, "Lord, save me." Sometimes people say it's better for you to be able to call upon Jesus. If you can't do nothing but say Jesus and call him by his name, that name alone has all power. When you call upon that name, God came and from that situation that you were facing at that time. And you didn't get hurt. The other person didn't get hurt. The accident was avoided. And you look back and wondered, how did that happen? My friend, it happened through the power of God. So we have to realize, again, there's power in the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen, when I go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, here's what the Apostle Paul had to say. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. He said, "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Now, that's not a full blink. He said, in the twinkling, and that's how God saves. He can save you to the uttermost in the twinkling of an eye, he said, "at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he went down in verse 58 and said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Very powerful and encouraging words by the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. Certainly, you can turn to the Word of God and find so many words, so many times you can turn and find encouragement in there in your time of a need. And I don't know about you, each and every time I'm facing a difficult time, certainly I'm always glad to be able to turn the pages of Scripture and find something, some promise in there that God has made to me in order to give me more encouragement for the time that I'm facing at that particular time or for whatever trial I'm facing. Because we got to come to realize that we're certainly going to have trials and tribulations in this life. So that is the reason why I thank and praise God for the power of the cross. The next thing we want to talk about is the suffering of the cross, the suffering. And then he died the painful death our sin deserved. John 3:17 says, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the whole world might be saved through him." By sacrificing himself for us on the cross, he took the punishment for all of our sins at once. By sending his son Jesus to die for our sins, God is working. That's in the present time. Doesn't mean in the past he's done it and that's just a done deal. But God is still working in our lives on today. But he is working to restore the radiance of his own glory shining in and through us. The Apostle John captures this reality well when he writes, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons or the children of God. And so we are." So I count that a great blessing when I look at the suffering. Christ died in the cross, on the cross in our place, so that we could be brought back into the family of God as his sons. The Apostle John, 1 John chapter 3, I remember reading that many a times, said, behold, that means to take a close look or to look closely with intent. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I don't feel worthy. And I know that I can never be. But the blood of Jesus Christ makes me worthy to be called the Son of God. Not because I've done anything so good, but because I have had the faith in the finished work of Christ out on Calvary's cross. My sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at me, he looks at my life through the blood of Christ. And then he can find no sin. In other words, when he looked at me through the blood of Jesus Christ, when he looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, case dismissed. In other words, sin demanded that we pay the price for what we did back in the Garden of Eden. But now when we look at our opportunity, us taking advantage of the opportunity to accept Christ's finished work out on Calvary's cross and to be washed in his blood, God looks at you and said, case dismissed. I don't know about you, but I count that a great blessing, as well as a privilege and an honor to be able to have my sins covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, suffering out on Calvary's cross. I want to talk about next the Savior of the cross. When we look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, that says a whole lot to you, 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 and you, in just that one verse of scripture. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Not crucified by myself, but with Christ. In other words, through the companionship that Christ has wrought for us out on Calvary's cross, he died in our place, but we also died with him out on the cross that day by accepting his finished work and his shed blood over the sins of our lives. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We still have to live a life in this world, but we can live a life of holiness and righteousness if we are blood washed and born again in Jesus Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's not me living this life, but it's Christ living in me. And this is the reason why sin doesn't have any more power over my life. Now I have the power to choose the right thing from the wrong thing. You see, back during that time, Adam also was given that choice, but it takes power to be able to choose what's right. Now, for us today, when we look at this imperfect body, this corruptible body that we live in right now, that's been charred and marred by sin, we have to realize that through sin, sin is the thing that takes the strength away from an individual. And the more you turn your heart and mind away from the word of God, the more that you have that propensity to sin or to make the wrong choice. Well, through the blood of Jesus Christ, when that blood is applied to you over your life, you also receive that power, that same power that Christ overcame Satan with during the temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. He was led by the Spirit. And if we go to St. John chapter 1, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen, if you are led by the Spirit of God and let the Spirit lead you into what you should do, every time the Spirit leads you, you're going to make the right choice. And this is what we want to do. I want to do what's pleasing to him. How about you? I certainly want to please him in everything that I'm doing. So if that's the case, then I want the Spirit of God to take precedence. In other words, have top priority in my life. It's not I. It's not you. It's not about anyone else. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all about his death, burial, and resurrection, his finished work out on Calvary's cross. So he is the Savior of the cross. If we didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent us one. When we look at John 3:16, every Christian recites that, and I hear it so many times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, you, and you, that's the black man, the white man, the Jew, anybody that's wanting to accept, whosoever will want to accept him, whosoever believeth in him, in other words, should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe, accept Christ's finished work out on Calvary's cross, make him your Lord and Savior, and then we can be united to him in every single way, in life, in death, in burial, in resurrection, in eternity. I'm looking forward to all of these things. I realize that one day this old life is going to be over, but I'm looking forward to being able to live with Christ after this life is over. How about you? 904-831-0917. That call gets through to the studios right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions or comments. So again, he is the Savior of the cross, Galatians 2:20. When we look at Christ, when he died, the power of sin over our lives died with him. When he arose from the dead, we were raised together with him to a new life, free from the control of sin. When we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, there's that word again, to look close with intent. Behold, all things are become new. This is the reason why you have that new life on today, because of Christ's finished work, his shed blood out on Calvary's cross. You have a brand new life. And listen, the old life, when we look at that, the old life doesn't rule and dominate over you anymore because of the power of Christ's blood out on Calvary's cross. So listen, that doesn't have anything to do with who you are right now. Don't let the old life rule and dominate. Listen, the one that you feed the most is going to be the one that dominates the most. If you feed the old man the most, then the old man is going to stand up and rule and dominate. But if you feed the new man that's in Christ Jesus with the word of God and with the righteousness of God, then the righteousness of God is going to dominate in your life. Let me encourage you on today. Make that your choice. 904-831-0917. That call gets through to the studio, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions or comments. Seven benefits of the cross. Number one, this is where we're going. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross cleanses and frees us from sin. Matthew 26:28. 1 Peter 2:24. Matthew 26:28. 1 Peter 2:24. Certainly we're not going to read everything there, but we certainly want to read some of it for your encouragement. Matthew 26:28. This is what the Lord had to say. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And if you look at that particular section of scripture, they were eating bread. In other words, they were taking communion. And Christ looked up, took the bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, listen, we all take communion as Christians on today, but it also tells us when we go to 1 Corinthians 11, it says, examine yourself. All right. Let's not get out there and we are letting the old man dominate and sin is prevalent in your life, and you're out there taking communion. Because when you look at that scripture over there, and I'm not going over there, but you go in your own time, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, somewhere down between the middle verses and all the way to the end, he said, "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." In other words, many die because they don't discern what happened through the Lord's body. Christ gave his body. He sacrificed his body out on Calvary's cross. And if this is something that you take lightly by continuing in sin and then taking communion, my friend, you are condemning yourself. Now, I'm not reading everything there, and I'm not going there for the sake of time, but I do want you to know how important it is for us to understand the importance of how holy and consecrated and sanctified taking communion really is, and how that's of the utmost importance to the Christian because of what Christ did out on Calvary's cross. Let's not take this thing lightly. Amen? So the next benefit is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross delivers us from God's wrath. You'll find that in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. And the next thing, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, God redeems and forgives us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And the next thing, I'm talking about the seven benefits. We're on number 4 now. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross breaks Satan's power, and it cancels the record of debt that stood against humanity. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Number 5, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross brings physical healing. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Number 6, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross ultimately delivers us from physical death. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And number 7, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross gives us access to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. So certainly, my friend, as we talked about the purpose of the cross, why the cross, the power of the cross, the suffering of the cross, and the Savior of the cross, we certainly hope that you got a hold of some valuable information on today that will assist you in your walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the time that you have allowed me to grace the radio airways on today with you. We want you to be encouraged. I love you on today. God loves you more. Certainly we want you to be encouraged. Thank you so much for joining us today. Come back again and join us as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about